John chapter 10, we'll be reading from verse 11. John 10, verse 11, we continue with our study of the I Am sayings of Christ. And this is our third message this morning on Christ's proclamation that I am the Good Shepherd. So, John 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then if you will go down to verse 26. And this occurs probably 2 months later. Christ again brings up the subject of shepherd. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, in both John 10:11 and also in verse 14, Jesus asserts that he is the good shepherd. And as with all the I Am sayings that we are studying, this is an emphatic declaration with emphasis on the subject I. I am the good shepherd. The I am wording, ego eimi, is inherently connected to Jehovah of the Old Testament. It is the self-revelation of deity. And here Christ asserts his absolute sovereignty over the salvation of men. The adjective good is also emphasized in this statement. There is what we in the original language, a grammatical device known as a restrictive attributive. That's where both the noun and the adjective each have a definite article. This is an emphatic construction, and this is what we have here. So we can render this more descriptively as, I am the shepherd, the good one. The adjective good, kalos, means beautiful, and hence it indicates excellence. That which is preeminently excellent, the most excellent and far surpassing shepherd in his nature and in his character. He is the only shepherd in this class. He is the shepherd. Indeed, Peter identified Christ as the chief shepherd. In Hebrews, Christ is identified as the great shepherd of the sheep. All other shepherds are mere understudies. All other shepherds are mere humans. Christ is the shepherd in the fullest possible sense. The shepherds of Israel that Jesus was comparing himself to in the context here were the Pharisees. These religious leaders are depicted in this chapter as strangers, thieves, and robbers, as hirelings. And Jesus compares himself with the hireling in verses 12 and 13. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and here it is, and careth not for the sheep. The great contrast here is for the good shepherd, who intensely and infinitely cares for his sheep. In addition to the I am proclamations, ego eimi, the term shepherd is also an affirmation of Christ's deity and is identified with Jehovah of the Old Testament. There are numerous Old Testament passages that describe Jehovah as shepherd. The Old Testament is full about with doctrine about the Lord Jehovah, how he searches for his sheep, how he carries for his sheep, and how he pastors his sheep. For instance, the well-known Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters." Or Isaiah 40:11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." And then the entire chapter of Ezekiel 34, where Jehovah will remove the false shepherds of Israel, making way for the one true shepherd of the seed of David, that is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in short, the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the term shepherd was descriptive of the whole relationship that Jehovah has to his people, the sheep. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that God would raise up one true shepherd, Christ, the Messiah. "And I will set up a shepherd over them, and he shall feed them when my servant David, he shall find them," or "he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Ezekiel 34:23. Further, it was prophesied that the Lord's true shepherd would be smitten, anticipating the cross, and the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Zechariah 13:7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." And you remember the night of our Lord's arrest, after they had eaten the Passover meal with the disciples, and after they had sung a hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives, and he said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written," referring to this prophecy, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So Christ then is the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy and revelation regarding the divine shepherd Jehovah. It culminates in his glorious person. Christ is the good shepherd. He is the only true shepherd. Now, we have been considering the stated characteristics of the good shepherd. In each of the two "I am the good shepherd" sayings, there is stated then a specific characteristic of the good shepherd. In verse 11, Jesus says he is the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. In verse 14, now Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, "and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So last time we looked at, "I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep." And this depicts the magnitude of Christ's love and his care for his sheep. He cares so much for the sheep, he is willing to sacrifice all for them, to lay down his life for them. Oh, how he loved us, and how He gave His life for us that we might live. And this speaks of how much the Good Shepherd really cares for His sheep. It's a love of infinite magnitude, a sacrificial love of infinite value. He laid down His life for the sheep. Jesus is speaking of His vicarious death here. The Good Shepherd vicariously suffers for the sins of His sheep. He willfully and voluntarily suffered for His sheep. And therefore, He says, doth my Father love me? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up. Here Christ brings then this I am saying, I am the Good Shepherd, into the context of an eternal relationship with the Father. And in the context of the eternal purpose of God. When He speaks about the Good Shepherd laying down His life for the sheep, He says, this commandment have I received of my Father. The second occurrence of Christ saying, I am the Good Shepherd, is found in verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. This speaks of an intimate relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. This relationship he likens to his relationship with the Father. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Again, he brings this discourse into the context of an eternal relationship that he has with the Father. The closeness that is between the Good Shepherd and the sheep is patterned after the relationship of the Father to the Son. These words express a very close and intimate union between Christ and His believing people, the sheep. It is a mutual, reciprocal knowledge of one another. And let us look at some other verses that depict this mutually reciprocal knowledge of one another. In verse 27, Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Then again, if you go up to verses 2 through 5, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, this is a knowledge of experience and of a loving fellowship. Jesus knows his own, and his own know him. So first I want to note then that as sheep we are Christ's possession. He says, I know my sheep. Or better yet, in the original is, I know my own. Christ owns his sheep, and we are his sheep by the gift of the Father. Christ has brought this discussion again and again into the context of an eternal relationship with his Father and the eternal purpose of God. Here he is speaking of the elect, those whom the Father had given him from eternity. Earlier in John 6, verse 37, Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And in 6:39 he says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. In the eternal counsel of redemption, the Father gave to the Son an elect to be his own peculiar people, his sheep. And this was made certain in the everlasting covenant, that all that the Father gave to Christ would most certainly come to Christ in faith, and not one would be lost. It was predestined. It was foreordained. Not one should be lost. The eternal counsel of God is invincible. Christ will later expound upon this in John 17. In that high priestly prayer, where it refers to the elect being given to him at least six times. And from these words, we learn then the irresistible power of God's electing grace. Nothing can prevent God's elect from coming to Christ. No obstacle, no difficulty, no power of the world or of the flesh or of Satan can prevent Christ's sheep from coming to him. If given, they will come. They are the sheep of the Good Shepherd. He knows the exact number of his sheep. He will never lose one, and he will always seek and find that which was lost. Secondly, I want to consider what Christ says here. He says, I know my own. Christ knows his sheep. No one is better able to understand or care for the sheep than Christ. Sheep cannot take care of themselves. They are helpless and completely dependent upon the shepherd. And Christ makes us his own, and he delights in taking care of us. The sheep are perfectly satisfied and content with their good shepherd. As Ezekiel prophesied about the Lord, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down in green pastures. Jesus Christ supplies all our needs out of the riches of his grace. The good shepherd rises early in the morning and he examines every sheep to see if any harm was done during the night, to examine for parasites and for diseases, to check on their health, to see if they are ill, if any of them are ill. Nothing escapes his notice. Christ says, I know my own. The good shepherd will go to no end and to no trouble and to labor to supply them with the finest grazing, the richest pasture, the purest water. He will spare himself no pains to provide shelter during the storms, to protect them from wild beasts and the disease and parasites that sheep are so vulnerable to. Christ has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So David prays, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Oh, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Christ knows us with a special and personal knowledge. He knows our weaknesses, our trials, our temptations. He knows all about what we need. He knows our spiritual condition. He knows our constitution, that we are weak and that we are feeble. He knows who suffers depression. He knows who suffers anxiety. He knows those who are physically sick. He knows the secrets of our heart. He knows us through and through. All the parts of our nature he understands. He knows all things that pertain to us. He has perfect knowledge of us from the very beginning. He knows our sins, but he knows them only to forgive us of them and to cover them with his righteousness. He knows our corruptions, and he will help us overcome them. He knows our temptations and will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able. He knows our trials and watches over them. He understands a broken heart. He feels our pain, and He perfectly sympathizes with us, for He knows us in His heart. For He was in all points tempted as we are, being made a man. And we can call Him our brethren even. In being made like us, He knows us in a very practical and tender way. The Good Shepherd is directly involved in the life of each one of His sheep at the deepest level. He perfectly sees and knows everything in our heart. Things which we cannot even see nor understand. Things hidden in the deep recesses of our heart. No sheep is ever away from His presence. He knows each of His sheep affectionately, personally, and eternally. And He calls them by name. But then we see, in the third place, that His own, that is His sheep, know Him. I know my own, and my own know me. One of the things that you may not know about sheep, because we're not too familiar with the profession of shepherding, is that sheep are similar to dogs in the sense that you can give them a name and they will come to the call of their name. Christ says, "The sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." In verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." It was common for a shepherd to name each one of his sheep, and at the call of his name, a sheep would promptly leave the flock, would promptly leave grazing in the pasture, and come and obey the call of his master. And the sheep would never follow a stranger. Christ says in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow," a double negative, they will never follow, "but he will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Consider then how close our relationship is with the Good Shepherd. He calls us by name. It's a very personal relationship. Christ says, "My sheep, follow me." What does it mean to follow him? It's to obey his commandments, to trust in him, to resign ourselves to his will, to walk in his ways, to follow his leading, to copy his example. In Ezekiel 37:24, he prophesies about how the sheep will follow the one true shepherd. He says, "David, my servant," meaning the seed of David, the Messiah to come, "shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them." That is what it is to follow the Good Shepherd. Christ's sheep hear his voice obediently. This is a mark of grace that gives evidence that we truly are his sheep. We know Christ by trusting him. We know Christ by loving him and keeping his commandments. There is a deep, intimate, and mutual knowledge between the shepherd and the sheep. Oh, the Good Shepherd gives us a name. But have we learned to obey him and follow his call?
Now fourth, and finally, we shall be Christ's sheep forever, because we have been His from eternity. Because the Father gave the sheep to Christ before the foundation of the world. The elect sheep were the gift of the Father to Christ. We were a token of the Father's love, His love to His only begotten Son. We are Christ's sheep because He has bought us with a price. He laid down His life for us. And those who Christ has bought with His blood are His, and He will keep them. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. Now, that's verses 27 through 30. Now, the word for pluck means to snatch or to seize. Life given to the sheep is eternal. And those who receive it shall never perish. And this speaks to the eternal security of the saints. Satan nor any enemy can snatch us out of Christ's hand, nor out of the Father's. It's impossible for one of Christ's sheep to perish. We cannot perish as long as our shepherd lives. There is no stronger passage, I believe, in the Word of God that can be found guaranteeing the absolute security of every child of God. To suggest that one of Christ's sheep may be lost is to blaspheme the shepherd Himself. As one put it, Arthur Pink, "The hand of Christ is beneath us, the hand of the Father is above us. Thus we are secured between the clasped hands of omnipotence." Christ says, "I and My Father are one," emphasizing their unity of nature and essence, one in every divine perfection. In the original, it actually reads like this: "The Father and I are one." Now, the verb "are" is plural, which clearly speaks of two persons. And the adjective "one" is neuter, meaning one thing, not one person. This has strong Trinitarian implications. Jesus does not say we are one person, but rather that we are one essence. Identity is not asserted here, but rather essential unity. Hence the Jews perceived this as blasphemy and took up stones to stone Him. It was a proclamation of deity that the Jews understood. Well, I think, as we study the Good Shepherd, it should be encouragement to us. I know My sheep and am known of them. I know My own and My own knows Me. That's a very intimate relationship. How close is your relationship to Christ? Do you trust? To what degree do you trust Christ and depend upon Him, rest upon Him, and rely upon Him? How do you see your utter need of Christ? Do you need Christ? Do you think you can make it through this world by yourself and upon your own strength? Christ is the Good Shepherd. And if there's an "I am" saying that speaks of His great love for His people, His infinite love for the people, it is this. And how much He cares for us is that "I am the Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. What a wonderful I am saying is this. Our Father, we thank you for your revelation and the very words of Christ as he reveals himself to us. Pray, Lord, that we might understand it in a way that would draw us closer to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.